help us there. I want you to understand what God has done for us, because we can come into this place. You know, when I sense the presence of the Lord, when I'm feeling the power of the Lord, I feel like I can do anything. Instead of, I gotta speak on Tuesday. I gotta speak on Sunday. I gotta go to another meeting. My phone rings. I look at the name. I'm like, somebody who I've been working with for many years, you know, called me Friday night. Friday night we had our first little men's get together at Basic, and we went out bowling, and it was just a long day, and I was just shot. And it was encouraging to be with my brothers from Basic, but I looked down, my phone rings, and I looked at the name, and I'm like, I have nothing for you right now. I don't know if you've ever been to that place. I'm like, I got nothing. But you know what? That was good, because God had something. God had something, and that's the place I want to bring us. So I want to switch over. Okay, we see this picture, we picked up nuggets, we're in the Lord's house, we can do things, we can ask him, he's praying for us for protection, he wants us here, and we're going to be an answer to prayer. Okay, now what? Now we're moving into what I call, the title of this section is Blessed Beyond Measure. Blessed Beyond Measure. And I'm going to hit chapter 1 of Ephesians, but I'm going to really just take this piece by piece. We'll see where the Lord takes us with this. But I just want to read just verse 3 to start with, Ephesians chapter 1. It says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." And you know, we read things like that a million times, and we just kind of blow right through there. But I want you to stop, focus for a minute. There was a Bible commentator, scholar in the late 1800s. His name was Mull, and he wrote this about that one verse. He wrote, "The idea behind blessed here is praised with worshiping love." Again, I want to build this scene personally. I don't want to fly by scriptures at this point, because it's really important. It's really important. Just hold in there for a minute. Paul is saying, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." He is not sitting here as a prayer, "Praise be." He's like worshiping with love. Praise, praise, praise to you, Father. Praise to you. There's a huge difference in our heart. Okay, why is he in that place? Why aren't we in that place? Then we launch into the second part of this verse. I'm going to read it to you. We could really stop and go home after that moment, but I think there's a few more huge nuggets. This is like, okay, this is a nugget of gold like this. I hope your backpack is big enough to take this with you, because you got to get a handle around this. He says this, "Who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ." Yeah, I know I heard it. Oh, I'm glad you heard that. I heard it too. I've read it too, multiple times. But let's just dive into it for a minute, shall we? Let's just see why there's this incredible praise and worshiping of love. First of all, that's past tense. It doesn't say he's gonna bless you. Well, let me see if you answer the call. I asked you to pray to go out into the harvest field, okay? I asked you to do that. You said you were gonna do it, and then I asked you to do something, you failed. Well, let's see. I'm not so sure about how I'm gonna bless you in the heavenly realms. It's not what he says. Who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ, okay? It's just an incredible statement. And you have to get your arms around this. And I'm gonna read a couple of quotes from you, from a person some of you may have heard.
His name happens to be Charles Spurgeon. And also, there's a Bible commentator by the name of David Guzik. He actually is alive and has a church right now, and I think it's in Santa Barbara, California. But for those of you who don't know who Spurgeon is, he's actually in Wikipedia. And to get this kind of accolades from Wikipedia, not bad. Wikipedia said, Spurgeon remains highly influential among Christians of various denominations, among whom he is known as the Prince of Preachers. I don't think that Wikipedia is going to be having my name in there. But that's okay, because God has other things for me. Listen to what Spurgeon said. Ready? Hold on. We got to get our arms around this. If we get nothing else, we got to understand who we are and what God has done for us. Spurgeon says this, we are not sitting here and groaning and crying and fretting and worrying and questioning our own salvation. He has blessed us, and therefore we will be blessed. Okay? Therefore we will bless him. Excuse me. You got to really pay attention to this next line, because when I read it, I thought, ooh, that is so true. Here's what he said next. Ready? If you think little of what God has done for you, you will do very little for him. Woo! You can't just blow by this. If you blow by this, you are missing it. You're like, yeah, I've been blessed in the heavens with every spiritual blessing. Yeah, I got that. What's that mean to you? Yeah, I don't know. You know, I got to pay my rent. I got to pay my mortgage, okay? My spouse is going to leave me. Work is not going out. My relationships, whatever. You're thinking little of it? You'll do little for him, Spurgeon says. I happen to agree with that. If you don't see what God has done for you, okay? I think somebody once said, to whom much is forgiven, right? There's that heart behind it. He goes on to say, but if you have a great notion of his, if you have a great notion of his great mercy to you, you will be greatly grateful to your gracious God. I think that's so incredible when we're looking at this. We have to understand what has happened for us. And Ephesians, we're just starting, okay? Ephesians, you can just go on and on and on in chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3. So, hearing that and understanding it and having this seep in and soak into your hearts, because we blow by it. Okay, God showed this to me. I spoke about this particular point in basic a couple of months ago, and still I wake up in the morning, and God's like, remember what you said? I'm like, ah, but this is a horrible day. I'm tired. Am I taking you out of this world? No. What have I done for you? I know. In the heavens, I know, Lord, I know. But if you don't have a grasp of what God has done for you, where's your footing? Where's your footing in life? What defines a success for you? We're not of this world. The world is giving us all kinds of definitions of success, right? There's all kinds of them out there. I would like to have God's definition of success. What does success look like to God? What's a win look like to God? Let me read you a little scripture out of Acts 1. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. You and I, that's a win. You want to know what a win is in God's eyes? That's a win. That doesn't mean we can't have other wins that we talked about here on this earth, but that's a win for us. Okay, spiritual blessing. He's blessed us. The mystery of all ages, Paul talks about. Christ, God in us. Wow, why do we blow right by that? God in us. That's the Holy Spirit. And why? Jesus is compassion.
right? He sees the people harassed, helpless, sheep without a shepherd. Who can I send? Who's going to go in there? I'm going to give you power. Power on high. Is it coming together for you? I hope you're starting to see that as we're moving through this, as we're understanding what God has for us, He has done incredible things for us, and we're not even finished.
Spurgeon said something else, just to understand to win. He said, our thanks are due to God for all our temporal blessings. That means all the things we talked about, a new house, a car, whatever may be going on, healings. He said, they are more than we deserve, but our thanks ought to go out to God in thunders of hallelujahs for spiritual blessings. Okay? Thank you, Lord. Okay? Lazarus. Where did God bring him from? The tomb. Okay? What happened? He died again. Ooh, sorry. It was an incredible miracle. That was a temporal thing. The spiritual blessings are what matters. And the Lord is telling you right now, in the heavens, every of them, all of them, He has blessed you with. That's why Spurgeon says that we should have thunders of hallelujahs for the spiritual. A new heart is better than a new coat. To feed on Christ is better than to have the best earthly food. To be an heir of God is better than being the heir of the greatest nobleman or anyone else you want to talk about who may have lots of money. To have God for our portion is blessed, infinitely more blessed than to own broad acres of land. God hath blessed us with spiritual blessings. Ready for this? Another treasure. He's right here. These are the rarest, the richest, the most enduring of all blessings. They are priceless. And if we don't get our hands on that, if we don't get a handle on that, we will let the world define where the win is. We will miss it. I'm not saying you won't be saved, but you'll miss it. You'll be on this journey and you won't be picking things up, okay? There's a win out there for you. God has a win for you. And that doesn't mean that you're going to necessarily be up here or, you know, being a Billy Graham, but God has wins for you. He has a harvest for you. But we have to be open and we have to come in from a place of thanksgiving and understanding who we are and what God has done for us. David Guzik put it this way. He said, if we have no appreciation for spiritual blessings, then we live at the level of animals. Woo. That's a little rough. But listen, animals live only to eat, sleep, entertain themselves, and reproduce. We are made in the image of God and has something much higher for us. He has something much higher, yet many choose to live at the level of animals. God wants us to know every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. This is powerful. We have to get our hands around and understand what God's done if we're going to be at all open to what God has for us. And I know I've gone on and on about that point. I could continue to go on. Paul continues to tell you who you are. Verses 4 through 6 in Ephesians 1, he said, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. Let me break this down for you a minute. Bible scholars and theologians have been arguing this point of predestination for a long time, and I'm here to settle it. Nah, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. But I want you to see what the scripture says. Let's see what it says, okay? Let's see what it said. He said he chose us in him before the creation of the world. I'm just telling you what it said. I can't do that, God. He goes, you know what? Before I created the earth, I chose you. Yeah, I chose you. Oh, Oh, well, that's because you had to. You made me. Verse 5, the beginning of that, it says, in love. Oh, in love? In love you did this for me? In love, he says, in love he predestined us. Predestined. Marked out a path for you, okay? God, before the creation of the earth, said, Anthony DePiro, you're mine. In love, I'm going to mark out a path for you. That's pretty incredible. Who am I in Christ? A question I asked. I'm someone, and you're someone, that God chose before he even created the earth, which means before Adam and Eve, and in love, he goes, you're mine. Don't freak out. I got a path marked out for you. Do you really know who I am? Yes, I know who you are. I just told you. And I have a path marked out for you. It should start to bring some kind of confidence. I know our emotions are all over the place. If you control yours, you know, and I'm not talking about how we act. I'm talking about inside, okay? I don't know anyone who's been able to do that. But we have to have some kind of a counter. You know how they always talk about countering things? We got to be able to counter that. You have to be able to counter the things that come across you. Remember Jesus prayed, protect us from the evil one. We think, oh, the evil one is out there. No, no, no. Sometimes the evil one is right here. Hello? That thought that says, God really wants me to do this, but I can't do that. That isn't from the Lord. Okay? Jesus prayed against that. He prayed that you would be protected from the evil one. And if you come into his presence and listen to his word and start to understand what he said about you, then you know what he has for you. And you know that he gave you the Holy Spirit. And you know, oh wait, what did it say here? To be holy and blameless. See what it says? And you're like, I'm not holy and blameless, so this isn't for me. It says in his sight. Isn't that interesting? God looks at me and goes, you're holy and blameless. That's how I see you. That's who I am, Lord? Yeah, that's who you are. So when you tell me to get up here and speak on a Sunday morning, you have a path marked out for me in love? Yeah, that's who you are. If you'd have asked me this in high school, you know, I was a kid hiding under a rock, incredibly shy. I know none of you believe that right now, okay? That's just a testimony of the work of the Holy Spirit in me. And it can be the same for you. It already is the same for you. But we got to get our hands on this. And I read a commentator. It was very interesting. I'm just throwing it out there. See how it says he predestined us for adoption and sonship through Jesus Christ? Adoption and sonship. It's an interesting thing. I found it really interesting. God created Adam and Eve, he was saying. They were a creation. They were created. God, we were special. We were like him. But this guy, his revelation from God was, God took the fall of mankind and took the creation and went another notch higher. He used that somehow to make us sons and daughters, heirs, okay? Heirs of Christ. Read Romans 8, we're heirs. I don't get it. It says we're co-heirs with Jesus. How does that happen? How do we become co-heirs with him? Read it. Who are you? What does he have for you? That's what he has for us. And I want to encourage us to do that. We're getting close to the end. This is that beautiful waterfall. Okay? 7 through 14. I'm just going to read you a little piece of this. In verse 7, it says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he's lavished on us. You know what? When you mess up, God has grace for you. You know what grace is? It's unmerited favor. I'd like unmerited favor. I need unmerited favor every day. And God says, I have grace. I have unmerited favor for you. Yeah, but I messed up. That's okay. Come to me, right? We confess our sins. He's faithful to forgive us. Verse 13 says, and you were also included in Christ, so you can't leave yourselves out. He was just talking about those days. No, when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, when you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our what? Our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession. How often this week have you thought about your inheritance? How often this week have you thought, God has put a seal on my soul? It's a guarantee of what's to come, because he said we're not of this world. We're in it, we're not of it. Well, what are we of? Another take on my Father's house. In my Father's house, there are many mansions, right? There's a place. I won't get into that, but there is so much for eternity that God has for us. And I want to end with the end of this, because Paul has a prayer for us. He says, for this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. Verse 18, I pray, listen to this. This is the last huge nugget, treasure that you have. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and the incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule, authority, power, and dominion, every name that is invoked, not only in this age, but in the age to come, and placed all things under his feet. There is this understanding. Paul is praying for us. The bottom line here, we need a revelation of who God is. If you want to come into his presence, if you want to be able to do the things God has for you, you need a revelation of who he is. And that's where I want to end with this morning. We need to have a revelation of who the Lord is to us this morning. Otherwise, all this stuff we talked about, what George talked about, what we're going to start doing, you know what it is? They're not treasures in your backpack. They're burdens. It's just more weight, more weight. Somebody else asking me to do another thing. Have you ever been there? I got to do another thing. Okay. I'm glad you're all excited about it. I have to do another thing. But when we begin to have this revelation of who Jesus is to me and what he has done for me and the path he has marked out for me and the fact that I'm a son and a daughter and I have an inheritance that's for me, that he gave me the tools that I need to have to get this done, the Holy Spirit he put in me. The fact that when I fall and I mess up and I don't listen and I sin willfully, because if you're, it's the only way to sin is willfully, okay? You don't accidentally step into it. You know what he says? He has grace, unmerited favor for me. And he sees me holy and blameless in his sight. That's for me. And if you're not looking at it in that light, you'll burn out. You'll try to do it on your own strength. You'll just keep pushing it all down. Okay? And that imagination I talked about, okay? It won't be there. Remember what he said to the rich young ruler? Remember when the rich young ruler came to him. He had this revelation of who Jesus was. He's teacher. You know, how must I get in? He knew. He had all these things. Jesus asked him some questions. He did all these things. And he's like, okay, there's just one more thing you got to do. Okay, what is it? Sell everything you have, give to the poor, and come follow me. Everything we were talking about here. Now, I don't know what happened to this guy. But I know what the scripture says. At that moment, he walked away sad. What happened? Imagination failed him. What was a win in God's eyes failed him. He was looking at it from a totally wrong perspective, and it took him down. Jesus looked at him and said, follow me. The call. Let's make sure that as God is speaking to us, that we don't come into that place. Amen? Amen. I just want to pray for us. And we'll be done. Thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you for this time, Lord. Father, I just pray that our eyes will be opened to you, Lord. Lord, I pray by your Spirit, Lord, not just at this moment, but as the day goes on, as the week goes on, we would know what you've done, the things you have done for us, Lord, that we would have a revelation of who you are, what you have for us to do, the fact that you've equipped us, that you love us, that you've given us everything you need, that we have unmerited favor, and you did this out of your great love for us, Lord. I pray that the eyes of our heart would be opened. We thank you so much, Father. In your mighty name, Jesus, we pray, Lord. Amen. Amen.